Hey there, welcome back to 7 Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're diving into Indivisible by Denise Hamilton. Sophie, you read this one too, right? What made you pick it up?
Hey there, Sam. Yeah, I was drawn to it because it's not just another diversity and inclusion book. It's about leadership in a fractured world, and I think we all feel that fracture, whether at work or in our communities. Hamilton makes a case that inclusive leadership is a strategic imperative, not a soft skill.
Right. And she starts by flipping the whole idea of what a leader is. She says, stop being a chess master and start being a gardener. I love that. A chess master controls every piece, but a gardener creates the conditions for growth.
Exactly. It's a shift from power over to power with. You're not moving people around like pawns. You're nurturing an environment where everyone can thrive. It's a mindset change that's pretty radical.
And she builds this on 4 pillars called the inclusive leader's mindset: awareness, curiosity, courage, and commitment. Can we just start with awareness? Because I feel like that's the foundation.
Oh, absolutely. Awareness is about self-awareness first. You have to honestly examine your own biases, privileges, and blind spots. And she's clear that we all have biases. The goal isn't to eliminate them, because that's impossible. It's to be aware so they don't drive your decisions.
That's so true. And it extends to seeing the systemic stuff too. She says meritocracy is often a myth, and the playing field isn't level. So you have to look for the invisible barriers that hold people back. That's a hard pill to swallow, but it's important.
Then comes curiosity, which is the antidote to judgment. Instead of judging someone who's different, you get curious. You ask questions to understand, not to interrogate. She calls it radical listening.
Radical listening. I like that. It's about asking things like, can you help me understand your perspective? And being humble enough to admit you don't have all the answers. You're not just waiting for your turn to speak.
Right.
And that curiosity extends to feedback. You actively seek it out, especially from people who are different from you, and you treat it as a gift, not a threat. Discomfort is a sign of growth.
Okay, but the third pillar is courage. And honestly, that one's tough. It's the courage to act, to speak up, to challenge the status quo. Like interrupting a microaggression in a meeting, even when it's awkward.
Exactly. And it's also the courage to be vulnerable. She argues that vulnerability is a strength. When a leader admits they made a mistake, it creates psychological safety for others to do the same. That builds trust, which is everything.
So you're moving from being a bystander to an upstander. That's a powerful reframe. And then the last pillar is commitment, because awareness and courage without follow-through are just intentions.
Yes.
Commitment is what turns intention into lasting change. It's not a one-time training session. You have to set goals, measure progress, and embed inclusive practices into every process, from hiring to promotions. And you have to be patient, because systemic change takes time.
The book's full of practical stuff, too. I love the part about meeting equity. You know, making sure everyone gets a chance to speak, maybe using a round-robin format, or having a facilitator to keep dominant voices from crowding out quieter ones.
And she talks about employee resource groups, but she cautions that they shouldn't be the only ones responsible for fixing diversity problems. Leaders should partner with them, give them resources and a seat at the table.
And conflict. She says we shouldn't avoid conflict, but manage it constructively. It's a source of innovation. You create a culture where people can disagree and have productive friction. That's a great phrase.
It's about focusing on the issue, not the person, and using I statements. And listening to understand, validating feelings, and finding common ground. She even gives a framework for difficult conversations.
But what I really appreciated is that she says you don't have to be a CEO to be an inclusive leader. Anyone can do it. It's the small things like inviting a new colleague to lunch or amplifying someone's idea in a meeting.
Those small acts create a ripple effect. She calls us all to be agents of belonging, making our workplaces and communities more welcoming. And she's so personal in the book, sharing her own struggles as a Black woman in corporate America. That vulnerability makes it relatable.
Yeah, she's not a perfect leader with all the answers. She's a fellow traveler, and that makes the message stick. It feels like a conversation with a wise mentor, not a lecture.
And the book is ultimately hopeful. It says the divisions we see aren't inevitable. We can choose a different path. By leading inclusively, we build organizations that are more successful and more just. It's not a utopia, it's practical.
The takeaway for me is that unity doesn't mean uniformity. It's about leveraging our differences as strengths. And that starts with each of us in our daily choices. The work begins with awareness and a commitment to grow.
And if you want to dive deeper into Indivisible or explore thousands of other ideas, the whole library is on 7minutebooks.com/app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, and it's just $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. So remember, we are stronger together, not in spite of our differences, but because of them. That's the heart of Indivisible. We'll see you in the next one.